Now hear Dweezil snoring.
You need to go downstairs.
It's not going to interfere with anything.
Right, Dweezil.
That's hysterical. How are you, David?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well indeed.
How are you, Jane? You okay?
I'm good, darling. I'm good. I don't like this t-shirt that's got some arms, but I just put it on for you boys. That'll do this morning. Keep warm.
It is hot. It's roast.
What are you doing, Mark Cox?
Just looking for something now. I've got found it's time now. That's me back now.
That's you. Is that us?
Yep.
Oh, headphones.
How did you get on with your
washing machine, man? Oh, I need to wait till next Tuesday now, David.
So you were burning rubber, Jane?
I was burning rubber, I know. See when he said he had to come back? Oh, and look at the sun shining. You don't know how that kills me. I've got a big basket of washing and a sunny day and I can't get it done. Paul Riley, tell us about your new duvet cover.
I had all these old t-shirts. Well, you guys know me, that I always wear t-shirts, right? I don't really bother with shirts unless it's a black tie event, which I'm never invited to anyway. But I put the old t-shirts to one side and Hillary went away and she stitched it into a duvet cover and it looks absolutely amazing. So I'm absolutely well chuffed with that. And obviously I'm 800 quid up in a horse, which you missed, Jane.
What?
Yep.
I want £800.
Right, I'll just tell it quickly for you, Janie, right?
Yeah.
So my brother-in-law texted me yesterday, it's a horse running in Galway, the last race, and I said, well, I'll stick a tenner on it because it's a tip, right? Because you never back horses, right? So I checked the bet once I'd placed the bet on your phone, and I'd put not £10, but £100 on by mistake. Oh. And the thing scooshed it came in 71.
Oh, so man, alive.
I know, happy days.
World of sport. Remember their accumulator they used to do? The guy I was sharing a flat with, he sent this young lad down to the bookies to put money on the accumulator, 25 quid or something. He was always doing that and always money getting blown. The young lad thought it would be much nicer not to do that. You can see where this is going. He said, I'm going to keep that and then I'll give him back his money. Well, they all came in.
Oh.
A quarter of a million or something. I mean, I've never seen anyone terror, white, ashen, sick, diarrhea, everything. Can't tell. Because, of course, the other guys leaping around for joy. That was an interesting situation.
The spot the ball guy used to come to the house and collect. And he told the story to my mum that somewhere in England, the guy was taking the money and just keeping it and not putting on the spot the ball.
Oh, Lord.
The balance of probability for spot the ball was always freaking me out because it would always be bottom left and all that.
I know, rubbish.
And they're all looking top right.
He's definitely gone for a header. He's definitely going to head the ball.
The 10,000 folk you can see in the stands are all looking top right as well.
I've forgotten that. There was always a man for the pools.
My ex-wife, who was, and probably still is, American, her first run-in was fantastic because she went down to get the door. Football pools. What? Football pools.
Eh?
Wow. What? Football pools. And eventually she worked it, he was saying football pools, and of course it still made no sense as to what that meant.
Football pools.
But cold.
Gary Stewart used to tell us, David, that when he was growing up, anybody coming for money, your mother would tell you to hide behind the couch, right? Anybody. But then there was vegetarians across the road, and if they ever came to the door, he had to hide behind the couch as well. But he never knew why. He never even knew what a vegetarian was, just some weird cult. So anybody coming, money, or the woman who was vegetarian, hide, Gary!
So I believe that today's episode is Mr. Mark Cox's.
Okay, but and it's called
A Happy Medium.
Happy Medium. So it's episode 9.
10.
I knew that was going to happen.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, the amount of preparation done for this show is staggering.
Welcome, listeners, to this episode 10 of 3 Down, 1 Across. This week's title, A Happy Medium. Tell you who isn't a happy medium is Derek Acorda, since passed age 69. His bones are as cold as his reading. Now, Derek Acorda is somebody we went to see a few years ago in the concert hall. It's always fascinated me that people buy into it. I used to watch him in Most Haunted, but I was Googling him again there. and I found something that hit new lows. He's on RTE, Ireland's premier channel. He's on a talk show. And there's a woman, she's not in the studio, but she's on camera in some other studio, and I thought, what's going on here? And she's got a dog with her who's just back from being kidnapped. So they're saying to him, Derek, how's the dog feeling? Well, he was 80% stressed. Now, she's like, how is he now? He's probably 1%. It was interesting watching him because he was asking her basic questions. Does the dog like to kind of go with anybody? She went, oh, yes. And that was the only thing he talked about. You get right into that. I mean, the dog will go with anybody. So the dog will go with anybody. And he kept going on and on and on about that. But Derek Acorn obviously was a guy who used a spiritual guide, Sam. So if you used to watch him in Most Haunted, going to these different places, he would say, I'm getting something, getting something, getting something. Oh, bless you, Sam. Thank you, Sam. And he would look up to the skies if Sam had given the information. But where he fell out in Most Haunted, that recently I found out, they go to some building, one of the cameramen said to him, oh, terrible story in here. Killer Tom, they used to call the guy that lived here, and gave him this story. And of course, we start the show and he's in the basement. I'm getting a kicking of Tom, maybe Tom, Killer Tom, Killer Tom. But of course, the cameraman had made up the whole story 5 minutes before it. He just gave him it. I always thought he looked dead frightened, terrified, Derek Acorn. His eyes were always, he was always waiting to get caught.
I always looking over his shoulder.
Always just look worried.
Is he waiting to get caught, or is it that fear, which I firmly believe that when these people are taking people's money and, as you say, abusing some people in their time of need, are they thinking, if this is real, there's a whole bunch of folk waiting for me on the other side?
Oh, no, for sure.
When you went to see him in that show, he's at the concert hall. On stage, he had one chair and a pull-up banner. The same thing you see a guy selling insurance in a shopping centre. That's what he's touring about in the country.
We're not of that and still gone, folks. Beautiful set.
A wonderful set. That's not a pull-up banner.
Do you remember going to the Pavilion Theatre in Glasgow once, right? We all know the Pavilion.
A fine theatre.
It's a fine theatre. Me and my mum's cousin up from England. So about 3 years ago, she'd lost her husband, Jim. But she hadn't coped that well with Jim's passing. So anyway, the woman was rotten. She didn't say one thing that hit with anybody. So as time was passing, everybody was starting to get steaming drunk. So folk at the back started shouting to this poor woman, is our name, man, it's at the back of this hall. So the rumblings were coming, folk were getting, ooh. Then folk started taking actual spirits out their bag. And it was just, it was utterly insane. But mum's cousin Kath, because she couldn't hear properly, every time this woman would say, I've got a Margaret with blonde hair. And cousin Kath would stand up and go, is it Jim? And we'd all go, sit down, Kath. It's not Jim. 2 minutes later, is it Jim? So then the people round about us started getting more annoyed with cousin Kath than they were with the medium. And then act two, she didn't come back. She took unwell. I mean, just on a black car, zooming away.
Gone. Yeah, I worked at the Pavilion for about three summer seasons of Robert Halpern, and he would do his half seven show and his naughty hypnotist show at midnight. Now, the only thing I can tell you about this is that it is real. It was hilarious. There was guys for Castlemilk who would come up to get hypnotised, and they would be like repeat offenders almost. Like, why do you do this all the time? And the guys, I remember the guy saying to me, because you get a brilliant night's sleep after it. I said, but you've just had your cock out and you've been eating an onion. Doesn't matter. It's mental.
Do you believe that that was, well, they believed it was real, certainly. They weren't pretending.
Gene, all I can tell you was I saw it and it is real.
It has to be real. There's no reason why you can't hypnotise people. It works medically as well.
Yeah, that's true.
The danger is that these people, like Mr. Don't want to name names, Derren Brown, these folk do these things. They'll convince you that someone's going to fire a live gun at you, or they convince you you're about to kill somebody. And they're not qualified to deal with the aftermath of that.
Oh, God, aye, that's right.
So that would be quite a good thing to do, actually, then, to find out people that have done that several times, if that did kind of mess their head up a bit after that. Nobody's ever asked them.
So if you follow us on Twitter, 3Down1Across, and you have been hypnotised on stage and then had some side effects, or perhaps woke up a month later with a bag of used £50 notes by the side of your bed and no idea how it got there, drop us a line.
One of the funniest I ever heard, Jonathan Ross was laughing so hard at it, and he was retelling the story of his brother, Paul Ross, and Paul Ross was still working on This Morning, And he went and
he was regressed.
He was regressed. So he's sitting in the chair. She says, okay, blah, blah, blah. Relax, relax. Okay, I'm going to take you back. But where are you? And he says, I'm in a barn. It's on the accent. I'm in a barn. Okay. What's the year? 1685. Okay. She says, and how old are you? And he said, I'll be 15 summers. You're rubbish. Clearly researched how they would actually say their age back then.
But hadn't researched how they would say the year.
No, that's right, of course.
Jane, obviously, I think some of us are slightly sceptical about spiritualism and things, but you've got a take on it that it does some good.
Well, I do think that. I remember when my dad died and my mum, again, like Cousin Kath, wasn't coping that well. And we did go and see a woman to do a reading for my mum. Now, it was incredible, the things that she said, actually. You know, whether it's true or not true, I don't know. She was good. But whether it was true or it wasn't true, it was a real turning point for my mum. So then, she still says every single day, that was about 3 years ago, we went to see her, and every day she still says, oh, your dad said he was coming for me. When's he coming? Mummy's like, me, I'll be running late. Just, he'll be here. One day he'll be here. But it did give her a lot of comfort, and she did believe that my dad went in peace because we went with him when he died. And, you know, she said that my dad had said that he waited for us to leave before he went. That gave her loads of comfort and kind of took the guilt away from that. She did kind of get her life back for a while and did find some peace. So for 40 quid or whatever it was a lot cheaper than therapy and probably a lot more effective.
Mm-hmm.
You would never knock people for what they believe.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Belief systems in general, I would never anyway.
That's pretty good, that kind of story there. Where, as you say, you go in and you give a bit of comfort and solace, but it's like Sylvia Brown's another horrific woman in America, and she worked on the Montel Williams show, and people would come on and say, I mean, it was terrible. Her daughter disappeared 7 months ago. She's 9. Is there anything? And Sylvia Brown said right away, she's in a slave ring in Japan. She's in a slave ring in Japan, right? And they were like, is she alive? Yeah, she's alive. She's alive. So certainly alive. And of course, 3 months later, the girl was found dead in the area. I mean, that's horrific.
That's
dreadful.
I watched last night The Honest Liar. Please, I urge you to watch it. It's about a magician, right? And he's in his 80s now.
Oh, is this James Randi?
Oh, James Randi. I know about him, right? That was him that outed Peter Popov.
Correct. Alice Cooper went to him because he wanted to have the guillotine thing on stage, and he was the go-to guy for everything. Then one day he went, who's this Uri Geller? And James Randi was not having it. And he made it part of his life's mission to just go at him. And he wrote a book about him. And eventually, he went so hard at him, he's now selling jewellery on QVC.
Yep. Arthur Conan Doyle and Houdini would go around together and debunk spiritualists and mediums.
Oh, really?
They would turn up at seances and then they would show everyone how it was all being done.
It was the death of his mother or something, wasn't it? That he was desperate to actually have real... He didn't really want to prove that there were liars. He wanted to find truth.
Well, we'll check that out. That's interesting. Fact check! It was not contacting his dead mother that inspired Houdini, born Eric Weiss, to attend seances, but his desire to expose fraudulent psychics and mediums whom he felt were taking advantage of people in a vulnerable state. His attendance at seances began a full 10 years after his mother's death. When asked why, Houdini replied, "When I was young, I set up fake sessions, so I knew very well what happened during those meetings." Far from helping Houdini debunk fakes, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle was a firm believer whose wife, Lady Jean Conan Doyle, was in fact a practicing psychic. When Houdini debunked her claims to have contacted his dead mother, the ensuing argument between Houdini and Conan Doyle was followed avidly by the public in several newspapers and caused their friendship to end bitterly.
James Randi was a famous one. He debunked the Reverend Peter Popov. Mm-hmm. And basically, you can hear the audio. James Randi recorded, and you can hear in Peter Popov's ear his wife saying, right. David, say David Wilson, 4 Strange Roads, 4. And he's saying, I got a David. And he get caught hands down. He was bankrupt, everything. He's now touring about again, driving a Porsche 911, and doing exactly. You can send money to Peter Popoff and he sends you blessed water, a wee tiny tube, and he's back in business. He's back in business and it's all forgotten about. That's what's most disturbing about that.
Yeah.
What galls me is I used to tell fortunes in primary and Mrs. Wilson rumbled me.
You bankrupt? Did she bankrupt?
She took all the money off me, like, gave it back to my mother, I think, but took all the money that I was collecting. I had a line the full length of the playground. And I had a crystal ball and I used to dress up and you would give me whatever it was, your tuck shop money. Fortunes. And I had that going, that racket was going. I had two pals who used to dance at the side. Glenn Kirkham and Logan would dance at the side of me, right? Sometimes we would get a wee cut. It was a smashing business. And Mrs. Wilson ruined that for me.
Cross my hand with a jawbreaker. Is that how you get payments? With the Wamba.
Four Chelsea Whoppers and I'll tell you the lot.
I'm never keen on people passing on or moving on. I think they die. And they may be still around, but I have no desire whatsoever to know. I bumped into someone on set, very nice person, lovely, and they obviously believed in all this stuff. And they were saying, how are you doing? Fine. Oh, how's your mum doing? I went, oh, well, mum died in October. Oh. Have you heard from her? Sorry? Have you heard from her? I went, no, sorry. I said, no, she died in October. Yes, but... She'll try to contact you. What do you mean? And she started talking about how my dad was going to contact me as well. I said, but why would he still be there? He died in 1997. Oh, yeah, but he'll be waiting. And all right. So I started asking questions because to me, there's a practical side. My dad was always quite straightforward, never minced his words. And yeah, I just know if I got in contact with him, it would be, yes, he says there's a box or a bag. It's blue or brown. Why do people, they lose the ability to speak coherently when they
tell
die?
Tell us what you asked that woman.
Yes, well, I did. I mean, she said, oh, you know, they're there and they watch down on you. And I find that disturbing. I said, when I masturbate, do they watch me then? Oh, no, she said, they look away. I don't want my gran, if I'm going for a shite, watching. Have they got nothing better to do than watch over us? And I know people find it comforting, but when you sit back and look at the practicalities of it, and you'll be with your partners. Well, my mum and dad were both divorced. Which partners would they be with? All of them? Are they all joining up? And then my mum had Alzheimer's. Is she a ghost with Alzheimer's?
Well, they do say, David, that you don't. Yeah, you would go back to being as you were.
What age do you go back to, though? That's the thing. Do you go back to... you're young, or do you go back to just before you had Alzheimer's?
If you're 15 summers old, do you go back to that?
Exactly.
You know, when you hear people say you went into a haunted house and somebody had been murdered there and the spirit was still there. Now, if I loved that person who'd been murdered, that would really worry me that their spirit was kind of trapped there and it hadn't been able to move on. But I think strange things have happened and I don't think you can deny that. And when I did go and see that woman with my mum, it was incredible, the detail, how specific it was. And I don't know, was it guesswork and I just don't hear all the things that are wrong and you remember the things that they hit? Because when I do my fake fun at parties telling fortunes, that's what I do. If somebody leans in, if their eyes widen, then I'll carry on with that and I'll dump the other stuff that I was talking about. But she was really specific.
Well, just while we're talking, I'm going to tell them. While we're talking, I've got Nathaniel, who's my spirit guide.
Good day, Nathaniel.
bless you, Nat.
Bless you, Nathaniel.
He says, you're white goods. Don't worry, he said. It'll be fixed. Or it won't.
Wow.
A new rubber. Did it say anything about a new rubber?
Not in that context, no.
I think we need to take a vote at the end of the podcast whether we believe, we don't believe, or we're firmly sitting on the fence.
Or if it's a shade of grey.
Yeah, but what shade of grey is it? Dark grey? Light grey?
All 50 shades.
Stuck egg grey.
Elephant's breath I've got in my hall. Mm-hmm. I remember. That's called. Elephant's breath. Get that googled and fact checked, David Goodall.
Do you think that I should spin the spiritual ball of ignorance?
Oh,
I would do that.
Yeah.
I would say you do that.
Here we go.
It's air.
Oh, air.
The Air Gaiety Theatre.
Paul, can you tell us about your show Still Gone in Air?
Dave, We don't like to talk about this.
I know, but I'd be keen to hear about it. I have no idea what it is or anything.
It's a show, it's called Still Gone, and it's going to be touring. It was supposed to be touring later this year, but April the 2nd, 2021, we will be appearing at the Air Gaiety Theatre. So come along and see us. You'll have a really good night.
And no doubt, global explorer Marco Polo has some very interesting facts about Air.
Now, Air has a population of people. 4, 5, 5, 9, 5.
I remember, I used to love going to Air. We used to go down to Air, and I always thought it was much further away, as you do, as you grow up. Places are never as far away as you thought they were. But we'd often go down, and the sea breeze and the air and all the rubbish in the beach. But I accidentally smashed the library in Wellington Square and the window with a ball when we went down as teenagers. And I've always felt a bit bad about that. It's been fixed. It was 30 years ago, 35 years ago. But I want to apologise to everybody and obviously thank the people who fixed the window.
Well,
that
Mark,
smashed.
You can do it live on stage on April the 2nd.
Come along, and I would love to see you, if you're still alive, the glazer that fixed that window.
My mum used to go there every summer, and she used to work on the shows, and she was pals with Nona Cadona. And Nona's granny said to my mum that she was psychic. She could see an aura around her. My mum always believed that. So my mum and Nona Cadona were good friends for years. And then as time passed, they went on with their lives and they lost touch. My mum told her carer that. My carer said, Nona Cadona. And she'd nursed her right up until she died as well.
These are all lovely stories of Air. It might interest you to know that our friend Daniel Defoe, who's, as you know, a very kind person, has something to say about Air. At present, like an old beauty, it shows the ruins of a good face. But it's also apparently not only decayed and declined, but decaying and declining every day. However, there's a good river and a handsome stone bridge of four arches.
Nice. The decay will be the smashed library window he's talking about.
Do you know they had trams in here?
Aye.
From 1901 until 1931, they had trams. I think people just came and stole all the rails and used them to smash windows in Wellington Square. Any famous people from here?
Alloway, obviously, the home of Robert Burns.
Yeah.
They're the cottage.
Did he cottage obviously Robert Burns? Is that known that he cottaged?
Nicola Sturgeon up the road. Nicola Sturgeon's just up the road. She was Irvin, was she not?
Yeah, Tarmac McAdam.
John Tarmac McAdam, yes.
That was his name.
Mike Scott, Waterboys.
Hole of the Moon.
Really?
Yeah. And Simon Neil for Biffy Clyro.
Oh, that's right, they all lived in there, eh? Mauchlin. Which is near the Air Gaiety.
Yes.
It's got the only curling stone factory in the UK.
Yeah, it's a big business.
1851, Andrew Kay and Company, and they make the stones from Ailsa Craig.
And they export them all to Stranraer.
Exactly. That's as far as they go to that hotel.
Johnny Walker of the whiskey, he marketed his Walker's Kilmarnock whiskey, which then became Johnny Walker's. Yeah. But he was from there.
Where he's from, Kilmarnock.
Right? He was from...
Just keep saying he was from Air, Coxie.
He was from Air, Coxie.
Stick to your guns.
John Walker was born in 1805 on his father's farm near Kilmarnock in Ayrshire. Despite originating one of the world's most famous whiskey brands, John Walker himself was teetotal.
In Wellington Square, there is a statue, General James George Smith Neill, right? And he's my... great, great, great grandpa, I think, according to my Aunt Agnes. My Aunt Agnes, who was Burns daft and was born in Halloween, believed she was a witch. She used to leave the window open in Halloween night, my mum said, thinking that the witches would come for her. She used to take us down to the old kirk at Brigadoon and tell us Tam O'Shanter with her teeth out and her hair spiked up. So maybe I shouldn't believe everything. But yeah, my cousin who died a few years ago was looking into her family tree and researching this man. Right now, there is a petition in Air to get the statue removed because of atrocities to innocent Indians that he slaughtered.
I'm for the opinion that people continue after death. In what form, who knows? But I just wonder about... Obviously, there are people with no talent and no link who con folk for money.
Yes,
I do worry about the practicalities. Why people can't speak properly once they're dead. You've got all the universe to go through, but you think, I'm just going to watch my grandson. Really?
You know, the other way of looking at it is you're in hell, where I'll be, And folk are going, all right, Winston, what's happening?
Why can't they speak properly? Why is that a John, a Jack? Why can't they hear them clearly?
Especially when we've got broadband. It must be a doddle these days.
Think about it. And having it with the first place to have been rolled out with fibre.
Sure.
Because, I mean, judging by a number of folk who leave messages for their dead relatives on Facebook.
That's true.
There's a lot of broadband in heaven. And the first thing that happens is you're given an iPad.
Exactly.
Some lessons on how to use it.
St. Peter's sitting with a mountain of iPads, right? In you go.
And my mum said Susan Nisbet, she's an actor, had died. She'd heard it when she was at the church. And I put a thing on Facebook to say what happened about Susan, and they heard, and was there a funeral? And then Susan contacted me to say she was dead.
Years ago, I worked with a guy. His ex-wife was psychic, he said. One day, my parents were visiting from Italy, and the phone went, "Hi there, this is Linda, Keith's ex-wife." "All right, hello. We've never spoken, no." She said, "John, my spirit guide, he got a message for you. He said, you've got someone there and they've got a decision to make and it's a big decision. And he said, if they get the work done, things will get better quickly. And if they don't, they'll get worse quickly. Does that make sense to you?" "No, not at all." "Oh, well, it might be rubbish, but that was the message. Bye." I put the phone down. I said, "Here's a strange thing." And I relayed the message to my parents. I said, "Does that mean anything to you?" And they were like, "Oh, gosh." And my dad had just found out that he should maybe get a heart bypass, and he was swithering about whether or not to go for the operation.
I'm sorry, it's a great story, it's a wonderful story, but the bottom line is here, I want to know why somebody didn't say your father should go ahead with his bypass.
Well, can I say this? Do you remember Dear Linda? Well, I went to a function and she said to me, "You'll go into a new house and you'll smell gas. It must be fixed." Now, I went to my friend Leslie Young's house, and it was within about 2 weeks of that, and there was a slight smell of gas. And Leslie said, "Oh, I think it's just coming from that cupboard. It's nothing." And I said, "Leslie, I know this is bizarre, but Dear Linda told me that I was going to come into a house and smell gas, and it must be fixed." She contacted the gas board, and there was a fracture right down a pipe, and they said to her, "Thank God you got this fixed when you did." Look, that is very specific, Mark Cox.
Yeah, it is very specific. However, you need to finish the story. When she called a gas engineer, who was very expensive, it was Dear Linda that was fixing it.
You don't need to be psychic. And in fact, what was wrong with your friend, I'd like to say, that you smell gas and say, "Oh, it'll be nothing." Of course, if you smell gas, it could be bad if you don't fix it.
Do you know what would have been brilliant? If Dear Linda had said, "You have a friend that needs an ear, nose and throat appointment due to lack of smell."
We were filming an episode of Still Game, and it was in an old folks' home, and it used to be a nunnery, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
And we were down filming, and we were walking about, and we were just having a wee nosy, and I passed this nun's bedroom, and I saw this weird orb. I don't know what it was. It was a strange ball of light. And I said to them, "Did you see that?" And they said, "No, they thought I was just at it." I thought, I must have imagined it. Anyway, I did all my scenes, and remember they kept having to stop, and I said, "What is it? What's wrong?" And they said, "Every time we film you, there's like a ball of light on your shoulder." Do you remember?
I googled it after it, but who lived there? There was a sister translucent that used to live there.
Oh, wow. Did she not marry brother Creepy Breaks?
She did, that's right.
I remember that place vividly because it was like something at The Shining. There was that.
I've got a great photograph, actually, which I'll find in post, of the three, of Sand, you and Paul facing away in that big long con with your costumes on. It was very, very creepy, wood-panelled. It did have a real atmosphere to it, certainly. Oh, wow.
Mark, what was the other thing you'd mentioned the other day about Derek Acora on a TV show?
He was going to try and reach Michael Jackson. So he had these Michael Jackson impersonators. There was a young guy, all completely done up with a kind of military type suit and the white gloves and all that on. And Derek Acora, with his big scary eyes, is looking at the boy. I'm with him. It was just all dead general patter he was giving him. Oh, I like to moon dance. Oh, I've got one glove on. I've got a glove. I like one glove. Just pure stuff. As Louis Theroux did say, his gran knew more about Michael Jackson than Derek Acora did. The brilliant if Sammy's spiritual guide sued him in the other world for lack of payment.
We just moved into the house where my mum still stays, and the people next door, we'd moved into his mother's house. She died in my bedroom. When we moved in, I said that an old woman used to come to the bottom of my bed. So I was three, and I said that all the time. She'd put her hands out to me. I described her. My mum wanted to take me to see a psychiatrist because she thought it was because we'd moved and I was so close to the kids round about where we'd moved from. And then next door asked us in for a drink. Went into their house and he'd a picture of his mother up in the wall. And I immediately said to my mum, "That's my lady, mum. That's my lady that visits me." And mum said she was exactly as I described her. Children and animals, I do think, sense something else that we don't sense. My Uncle Harry died and the dog started freaking out and barking at a chair.
I had a cat that used to put his ears down and hiss at the wall. It wasn't pleasant.
I just thought, what do we think about that? Do we think kids and animals pick up on things? And we train our brains as we get older not to believe because it's not logical. As you were saying earlier on, it doesn't make sense.
If you talk to kids about it, a friend of ours, Vicky, her daughter is in contact with the dead, apparently. But they speak to her very clearly. They have distinct conversations. She says, no, they didn't say that. They said that. She's very, very clear about it. So I don't think that we train ourselves out of it. It could just be that we lose that connection as we get older.
Do children lie quite a lot?
Yeah, there's that as well. Drugs and lying. Mm-hmm. Alcohol. Mm-hmm.
Dogs don't lie, though, David.
Dogs don't lie.
It's a construct of a lot of films as well, with creepy kids, The Shining with the twins and all that, and you're just like, ah!
Do you know what? If you're still recording this and you're out there, blah, 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 show me the money. Give me something I can go, wow, why is everything so grey and woolly and...
Yep.
Gonna just show me something. Show me a ghost. I want to see a ghost.
If my dad is listening, come back to me with six numbers between 1 and 49 and tell me the date on which they're valid, and then I will go, good, that was useful.
But dad, don't come back to me between 10 and 11 at night because you know what you're up to then.
Aye. Yeah.
And 6 and 7 in the morning.
Probably. So I would love to see, I'd love to see all the stuff in YouTube and everything. Oh, look at this. Did you see that? Did you see that there? No. Come on. Where is it? I'm setting myself up for absolute terror in this with that channel.
Oh, my mum's gran, she had a big cross above her bed and she used to go to the spiritualist church when she was younger all the time. And she said that she invited the spirits in and that was the danger. And now that she'd allowed the spirits to come in and doing the Ouija board and doing all of that, that they tormented her and she would get messages all the time. She always said to my mum, don't let them in.
Can I actually say something you did? Show us, where is haunted? Show us something. And we give away free tickets to come and see the show or something like that.
Yeah.
Something where we could go out and do something, we could go and see, or it's a visible thing that we can go. There's no grey area.
I think let's ask that then.
If folk have psychic abilities or a psychic house, then let us know and we'll come and we'll take our cameras and we'll investigate. Obviously, Mark's sitting in a big conservatory just now and the vengeful ghost of an Ayrshire glazer will be smashing those windows no end, Mark.
It'll actually, Dave, it'll be me with a 10p piece tonight.
Yeah, I've actually opened the door here in my mind now.
Yeah. Every creak, every noise in that house tonight, Mark, is going to be someone coming back to tell you they're there.
Coxie, you've quite literally said too much.
Oh, no. Sorry, everybody, ghosts. No. Sorry, Derek.
The Honest Liar. It's an incredible movie.
And if anyone does have any psychic issues, then let us know. We'll come and investigate or we'll get you on the show as a guest. And Jim McCarrie will exorcise you.
Or phone this premium number, everybody.
Paul Riley, you had a nice idea about where we stand. Now, is it where we stand on psychics or where we stand on an afterlife?
On psychics, I would say there's a beautiful lyric that says, "Go light a candle if it gets you through." That's what I would say on psychics. If you believe it, it's entirely up to you.
Jim McCarrie, psychics?
I do believe, yeah, there's a kind of energy out there and some people can tune into that energy. So I believe in some of them, but I would say the majority would just take your money and con you.
Obviously, Derek Acora, we're quite happy he was genuine, but some of them aren't as ethical.
Yes.
Yeah. I would call canny. Listen to what they've got to say, but keep my horn in my pocket.
I think if you do go to a psychic, say nothing.
Yeah.
That's the thing, Dave. That's the tale.
If you've got a welder's mask you could wear when you go to a psychic.
And a diving bell.
Aha, a diving bell.
Or a tutu. Right, now, afterlife.
Oofed. Coxy.
I believe there's something else. There's an energy or some form of warmth. I don't know if you've got people talking, trying to come back through. I believe there's something else, whatever it is.
I can't imagine that if Jane McCarty died, she wouldn't try and come back through talking.
That's right.
I'd be pronounced stone dead and I'd still be talking and eating.
It'd still be reverberating.
Jean.
I do think there is some kind of energy out there, and maybe that's... I've seen a couple of people die, and on both occasions, and again, this could just brain dying and giving yourself comfort. They did see as if there was something where they were going to. They did talk about a light. They did talk about seeing people that they loved. But is that your own brain protecting you? As you say, Paul, if it gives you comfort... In fact, when my mum was in hospital once, there was a young lassie. She was coming round with a trolley, and there was an old woman, and she had dementia, and she was talking to spirits and God and all of that. And she was worried because she thought that she'd upset God. And this wee lassie with the trolley trying to give her comfort. No, it's all right. It's all right, because God isn't real. Whatever gives you comfort, that'll do for me. I believe there's a kind of energy.
Paul Riley.
I don't know. Again, do you want to actually like shuffle off your mortal coil and then have to start again somewhere else? Oh, come on. You know what I mean?
No.
Let's just bring it to an end. No, that's what I think. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I'm on the fence, definitely.
I have no fear of death. Now, I've got a concern. I don't want to die in a horrible, slow way. But in terms of death, I think you've got two options. There's something else, so Adventure Time, or there's nothing and you're not going to know.
Hmm.
Either way, it's not a bad option. You can move on to something else, or it's just lights out. Gone.
Yeah, not even black.
Yeah, just, right. Yeah, switch off.
Aye.
I found quite a comforting thought.
On that bombshell, folks, I'll see you all next week.
Mrs. Elvin, she lived to be late 80s, never said she was psychic. She said, oh, it's all nonsense, son. But she would get asked to go in and clear people's houses when there was bad things happening. And she said she was, as she described, an old biddy's night out. And there were a fortune teller round. And she said, I was just sitting at the end of the line, and as they're coming round to me, I'm getting colder and colder. Said, then she got to me and she said, are you with the living? And I said, not for long, dear, but yes. And she said, why are all the spirits gathered round you? Good night, folks, and sleep well.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I hope that's helped you see the light, if you will. that's the end of episode 10 of 3 Down 1 Across with me, Mark Cox.
It's me as well, but Paul Riley, but...
And me, Jane McCarty.
And me, David Goodall.
David Goodall.
Yay!
Right,
good night.
Good night. Bye.
Foodopolis.org.
3 Down 1 Across is a... I'm getting an O. Oscar. Oliver. An Osprey production. And it was recorded at Sandsmoor Facilities on the other side.